God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And I'm joined by Leonor Cravotta. Hello, Leonor.
Good morning, Scott.
Did you have a good trip down in Naples?
Yes, I did indeed.
You know, we were down in Naples, but we're back in the studio with a better microphone. I'm enjoying myself with my normal equipment, and that's kind of nice. But we got to meet one of our listeners down there who attended the event.
We did.
And her name was Jeannie Baum, and she was just such a lovely woman. And I just want to send a shout out to her and thank her for making the effort to, you know, drive over an hour to get there and say hello. And she's also the same person that gave me that new product that
which
that
you
I'm
have
start
to start
taking.
Using now that we're back.
That's right.
To improve your voice, because actually my voice wasn't so good either. And I, fortunately, the gods were with me when I was on that panel, because I didn't cough once, despite the fact that off the air I've been coughing a real lot. So it was very good. But we're both looking forward to trying the product, and we are so appreciative that Jeannie sent them to us, and we're also appreciative that she showed up.
She did that out of the kindness of her own heart. I mean, it was just a completely out of the blue.
Okay.
This product's called Nuku Hiva. Nuku Hiva is N-U-K-U-H-I-V-A. Enjoy Nuku Hiva daily to get your fill of power-packed nani and other superfruits. I read the ingredients and I almost thought, man, can you hit some vodka with that? You know?
Well, Scott, then you defeat the purpose.
I know.
Somehow it waters it down.
It sounded like an island drink, but no, you're supposed to take like an ounce or two. And,
yeah.
You know, it's highly fortified from an island, and it does a Nuku Hiva.
Yeah.
So we're going to be starting that regimen now that we're back.
Yep.
But I want to send a big thank you to Jeannie Baum. Real delightful woman, a beautiful woman. And she came up and spent some time with us, and she's just a true patriot. All right, so Trump has been tweeting up a storm. He got back from Davos.
Well, you know, he couldn't tweet for a little while he was on the flight for some reason. So,
because he can tweet.
He can tweet, but if you notice, there was a little bit of a gap while he was traveling. Suddenly, when you would ordinarily see all these tweets, one of the days there wasn't that much. So now, but now he's
okay,
back in full steam.
Just for the record, though, Trump
He can tweet while he's on the plane. But
in fact, we were on JetBlue, and they give away free Wi-Fi.
Right, but I think maybe there was a tiny bit of downtime.
Yeah,
whether it was technological or otherwise.
Maybe he was sleeping.
Possibly, that's what I said, or otherwise.
Yeah. But Donald Trump tweeted this out today. He says, "Schiff." And this is, he's quoting Rush Limbaugh, but he's tweeting it out. He says, Schiff doesn't have a case telling the truth, so he's manufacturing things. And from Mark Meadows' perspective, Mark Meadows said that he stopped counting after 12 different lies that Schiff was selling.
And how early into Schiff's speech was that? Because he was out there for well over 2 hours.
2.5 hours. It was like a marathon thing where he just repetitive. Somebody said, I think it was Mark Meadows or somebody like that said, you know, it was almost as repetitive as, you know, $15 or more will save you on Geico insurance. The only thing is that they'll save you 15% and Adam Schiff will just numb your brain.
Give you a headache, I think.
But another senator said that he felt like the Adam Schiff and his team of managers was not speaking to them. Rather, they were speaking to the general public.
This is a television show to distract from President Trump's campaign, to get people to turn against President Trump. That's because we know this impeachment isn't going to go anywhere.
So the senators are relegated to being members of a live audience.
It's a reality television show.
Now we're going to read, there's about 10 Trump tweets here. We're going to read them. But one of the biggest questions I have about this whole impeachment hoax, the biggest question I have, and it's a question I've had until I had it this morning, and then it was answered for me by none other than Judge Napolitano, who I don't like anymore. But he did answer this question. It's a good question and a good answer. And so I'm going to share it with you guys listening because and girls listening because it's important. So the first thing was, okay, President Trump has executive privilege. That means that if you call John Bolton, who in Davos, President Trump said, John Bolton didn't leave on the best of terms. In fact, you know, it was my idea to get rid of him. And he was like, so, you know, I wouldn't love it if he would testify. But really, you know, the idea is that he had the Trump's ear and Trump had his ear. And they had very high level, top secret, classified conversations about world leaders, about international strategy, about national security. And he was in on every meeting taking notes. And if he's asked a question under oath, he'll be compelled to give answers. And if he makes a mistake and says something that he thinks is okay, but the president would think otherwise, the problem is, and President Trump said this in the press conference yesterday in Davos, he said that if he said something that I said about a world leader that, you know, upset the world leader, then I would have to untangle that problem.
Oh, and exactly.
It presents problems on a national security level that we can't afford to have. You know, it's not something that we would want. So we don't want to play games with that. So there was this talk about, you know, this exchange. You give me Hunter Biden and I give you John Bolton. It doesn't work like that. Because what they could do is make that deal, and next thing you know, Hunter Biden shows up, and you give over John Bolton, and guess what? John Bolton's not going to get to speak because of executive privilege. So I think the Democrats almost want the president to look like he's covering something up by executing executive privilege.
Right.
Now, see, the president won't execute executive privilege if they decide we've made up our mind, we don't need to hear anymore, and we're not going to call any more witnesses. So the Democrats know that President Trump will issue an executive privilege, and it'll just make the president look like he has something to hide. And that's all the exercise is about. That's first part. Second part is that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, if Hunter were called to testify, more than likely he would plead the fifth, and he's also in litigation with a love child.
A baby
situation.
Mama, as they call it.
A baby mama.
In the vernacular.
So he's hiding, you know, the fact that he made millions so that he doesn't have to give up money to this stripper.
I think he's trying to say he's unemployed.
Right.
That's pretty laughable, right?
So, but he's still got money coming in from China. And when were these deals made and so on and so forth? And he could say, well, that's currently being litigated. I'm going to plead the fifth to not incriminate myself. And the reason why they're going to use is, so basically you're going to end up with this fiasco where the witnesses are going to be voted upon, and 51% of the senators are going to suggest that witnesses should be called, to which case it's going to be a charade. mm-hmm. where you're going to have President Trump issuing executive privileges, and you're going to have the Adam Schiff, the whistleblower, and Hunter Biden all pleading the fifth so as to not incriminate themselves. So this is, once again, another stain on our United States Congress, another stain on American democracy and our republic and what is going on in Washington, D.C. The swamp needs to be drained. We know that. And I don't see Trump's poll numbers shifting, despite the fact that they have now spent 8 hours, in addition to the other 12 hours of amendments that they've already done. They got 16 more hours. Are they going to use all 16 hours and repeat themselves?
I don't know. All I can remember is constantly seeing Mitch McConnell coming out and telling everybody it was time for a dinner break.
Get this. It's a half-hour call.
I know.
The thing was transcribed.
And it was a perfect call, according to President Trump.
Well, I read it.
Yeah.
I read the call.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, quid pro quo, and just like Mulvaney said in that press conference that got him in some trouble, quid pro quo is done all the time. It's exactly how we actually talk to El Salvador, Honduras, and Colombia. We talked to them and we said, you know, hey, you know, either we're going to, you stop sending the caravans, or we're going to go ahead and stop sending you the money. Didn't we say that?
No.
We did say that.
Yeah.
Wait.
I'm sorry. What? Say that again. What did you say?
What do you think I said?
You said
the caravans in Colombia.
Colombia caravans, or we're going to stop sending them.
El Salvador and Honduras.
Yes.
We said to them, stop sending the caravans.
Or we're going to stop sending the money. That is a direct.
Is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay. Is that a quid pro quo?
I would call that a quid pro quo.
Okay.
Yeah.
But quid pro quos are done all the time.
Right.
How about this? You sell me a tractor and I give you $10,000.
Well, that's a deal.
That's a
business arrangement.
Too, right?
It's a quid pro quo, but it's inherent that you get something for something else. But in the case of this call, there was no quid pro quo.
And he was talking about CrowdStrike, Burisma, and Hunter Biden. I don't know. It's not a quid pro quo. Or it
Want
might
a piece
be,
of the Scott Adams
guess
Show,
what?
Red State Talk Radio, billboard.
We're up against the commercial. But
there
guess
you go.
What? Quid pro quo is part of horse trading. That's
well,
all I'm saying.
Well, it's a deal. You get something for something else. That's the way it works.
We got to go to a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I'm joined by Leonore Cravotta. And Trump is, as I said, Trump has been tweeting up a storm. And we're going to go ahead and just check up on some of his tweets. I've been missing his tweets a little bit.
Yeah.
He was tweeting kind of, but he
it
had
was a,
very, a
little less tweets, as I said in the
very busy
segment.
Schedule in
of
Davos.
Course.
He's in a meeting. He can't be tweeting while he's talking to a head of state, you know, but, or that would be impolite.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it would be.
So sometimes I can't tweet as much. In fact, my tweets are sparse right now too, because we've been traveling and, you know, even though JetBlue did have that Wi-Fi, the
which
free
was
Wi-Fi.
Great.
Free Wi-Fi.
What was it called? Fly-Fi? Or,
Fly-Fi.
Yeah.
But you remember the hotels when they started getting into the free Wi-Fi?
Right.
Do you have free Wi-Fi? They used to charge for that?
But there are still places that charge, which shocks me.
It shocks me too, I guess, because it's far and few in between now. So the norm is they give it away, right? And they should. So planes, it would be really great if on planes they did the same thing. And JetBlue is leading the way on that. So that's good. All right. So here with these tweets. So I'll read you the first one I already read once, but it says Schiff, and this is Rush Limbaugh being retweeted by Donald Trump. Schiff doesn't have a case telling the truth. Doesn't have a case telling the truth. So he's manufacturing things. And that's according to Rush Limbaugh. Donald Trump also tweeted this morning. There is no evidence of a crime. Robert Charles, former Associate Secretary of State. The crimes were committed by the other side. Of course. You know, and basically they're putting the investigators and the prosecutors in place that actually committed the crimes. I would love for them to ask Adam Schiff about Lev Parnas, for example, or not Lev Parnas, Igor Pasternak, right? Who he gave $15.5 million, turns around, that guy gives Adam Schiff a big fundraiser, and He was a Russian-born Ukrainian from Ukraine, but born in Russia, from Ukraine, and supposed to be involved in weapons manufacturing for military defense. Well, it turns out that he didn't really even produce a lot of the stuff that he was supposed to reproduce because he was operating out of shell companies, collecting monies like Planned Parenthood, and then delivering them back. By the way, Planned Parenthood this week is going to have a march, and President Trump is going to attend. Not Planned Parenthood.
You mean the March for Life. You said the exact opposite of what you intended, Scott.
That's exactly right. March for Life. Okay, I'm sorry. March for Life.
Let's get that clear.
No, you know why it bothered me, though, is I would say that if, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you carry the water for Trump and you love Trump and, you know, have you ever said anything bad about Trump? The one thing I would say that Trump failed at doing in his first term, and I understand why he failed, was Planned Parenthood has not been fully defunded yet.
Mm-hmm. No, it hasn't.
By the government. And that is a problem. That's where I was thinking of Planned Parenthood. I wish that they were defunded, but what Trump had to do was he had to get the military spent funding, and he had to get funding for the wall, and he had to get funding for... He had to give something up to get something, I guess. And one of the things that, you know, the Democrats love so much is to kill babies. So, you know, they needed that money to do that. And that's what they stand for. That's their one issue, right?
I mean,
they love abortions all the way up until infanticide, you know, all the way up until the baby pops out of the womb. It's disgusting. But this March for Life is going to be bigger than the March The Women's March.
The Women's March is significantly bigger because the March for Life is growing every year, and the Women's March apparently is shrinking significantly
every
year.
Yeah, March for Life is growing. It's going to be about 500,000 this year.
We will see them again in Arlington because that's where a lot of them congregated because they couldn't get hotel rooms.
But this will be the first time that they show up where the president is.
Yes.
I think president did a screen on screen.
And Pence has been there in the past, if I recall.
But this time he's going to show up. All right, so there is no... Okay, then Donald Trump tweeted this. Attorney generals from 21 states are urging the Senate to reject impeachment. They say the articles have legal and factual problems, and the Democrats' case sets a dangerous historical precedent. Even an unsuccessful effort to impeach the president undermines the integrity of the 2020 election because it weaponizes a process that should only be initiated in exceedingly rare circumstances and should never be used for partisan purposes. That's Heather Childers from Fox News. The Democrats are trying hard to damage Republicans prior to the election. Of course, that's what this is all about. And that's why the senators in the chamber are feeling a little bit like, you know, we're just sitting here as like a live audience.
Yeah.
While Adam Schiff talks to America. That's not fair, is it? So President Trump says in an impeachment, you can't use a work of fiction as the theory for the case, filling in gaps with presumptions against the president. It was a weak presentation, self-indulgent, and he didn't deliver the goods. Robert Charles said that. Now, one of the things is true. Like, I was saying this to Leonora off mic. I said, you know, if you are a student and you have like a 20-page paper and you hand it in, that's it. That's your final product. You hand that in. It gets graded.
Exactly.
It gets evaluated by the professor.
That's how it works in the real world.
And that's it. You get one shot at the target. You know, measure twice, cut once. That's what the impeachment is supposed to be. What they're trying to insinuate is they're trying to say that the impeachment is like a grand jury. Okay? So they're trying to say, all right, we have a grand jury. We're presenting our case. It's not contested, meaning that the prosecutors in front of a grand jury don't have the defense present. They just present their case to the grand jury. The grand jury decides whether or not there would be a trial. And then the trial and the judge, you know, hear witnesses. That's what they're suggesting this process is. But that's not what this process is, because the impeachment is not akin to a grand jury. What it is a situation, and you know who said that, though? Was George Conway. He was on Kellyanne Conway's husband.
With husbands like that, what can I say?
And so the idea is that, no, what it's more like is a paper. I submit my paper. It needs to be fully complete, and then it gets graded and evaluated accordingly. And so there need any time that there's a witness or there's questions and more investigation, that's the Senate doing the investigative work that was supposed to be done by the House.
Right.
The House and their impeachment endeavor is patently unfair. Now, if they wanted it to be done a different way, they should have had a more fair process mm-hmm. up front. But it's unfair, and they get away with murder as a result of it because, again, once again, they're just putting together their own case, and they're presenting it to a judge and jury member, a judge and a jury. But the judge and a jury are not supposed to... Have you ever heard of a judge or a jury going out and hiring detectives to actually find more evidence?
No.
Right. Think about how absurd that would be.
It's not the judge and the jury doing that. It's the attorneys doing that.
So that's right.
That's the way the process
right,
works.
But
you build your case. You don't go back and find the case later.
Right, right. So you can't get another bite at the apple. Once the evidence is in, then it's full of discovery and whatever.
You don't get a do-over on your paper.
No, that's it. So what they're asking for is the Senate to continue to do a continuation of the investigation when the Senate is just supposed to be there to listen to the case that already was put together. There's supposed to be a trial and a judge, a jury and a judge. That's all they're supposed to be. And juries and judges don't do investigative work or present witnesses. They don't do those things. This is why it's absurd on its face. You know what? We're gonna skip through this break today. And because we got a lot more that we want to cover. So also, I want to go ahead and read another one of Trump's tweets. And that is going to be, no matter what you give to the radical left, do nothing, Democrats. It will never be enough. And he also said the Democrat House would not give us lawyers or not one witness, but now demand that the Republican Senate produce the witnesses that the House never sought or even asked for. They had the chance, but they pretended to rush. Most unfair and corrupt hearing in congressional history. In an impeachment, you can't use a work of fiction as the theory for the case, filling in the gaps with presumptions against the president. It was a weak presentation, self-indulgent, and he didn't deliver the goods. And that was according to Robert Charles. So I think I've read that one already. But the point is they rushed it. Then they delayed it. They were playing games with it. And they did have every right to call John Bolton. And then the president would have issued an executive privilege.
Exactly.
And that would have been the case, right? But they, according to the White House attorneys, mm-hmm. What they did was they issued a subpoena that wasn't a legal subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention the fact that then when I think it was the deputy to Bolton, Cupperton or something like that,
yeah.
He said, well, I'm going to go ahead and sue you. And I think Bolton said, I'm going to do the same thing as my deputy. I'm going to take you to court.
Right.
At that point, the judge would have ruled in favor of Cupperton mm-hmm. or Bolton, mm-hmm. and then that would have squashed their subpoena altogether
yeah.
as a the courts ruled that they weren't legal, right?
Yeah.
And they pulled it from the court before the ruling.
Yeah.
And then now they're making this fake case, this yeah. false case that says, well, we issued you a subpoena and you said no.
Yeah.
And you didn't respond. You were obstructing. And that was part of the case that they were making for the obstruction of Congress.
Yeah.
And yet they would have not been able to make that case if they would have let the trial judge, the court judge, the judge from the court,
yes.
when they sued, to actually do a ruling. And if the ruling was, and it would have likely have been, in favor of the White House attorneys, then they wouldn't have even been able to make that charge for impeachment on obstruction of Congress. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting dynamic right there. And that's what the case that's being made right now is, you never asked for Bolton. Now all of a sudden you're asking for Bolton. You didn't think he was important enough then. And it was because, well, we knew that we would lose in court, is what happened, because Cupperton was their test trial. Mm-hmm. What will they do if we call Cupperton, mm-hmm. right? And Cupperton basically said, he was the deputy to Bolton. The deputy said, well, I'm taking you to court. And before the judge would rule, mm-hmm. they pulled and withdrew their papers for, mm-hmm. and they said, we no longer are going to litigate this case. That's what's going on, folks. It's a lot of razzle dazzle. And if you're not paying attention, then what's going to happen is you're going to be, you know, we were talking to a person on our way to the airport yesterday. Yes. And she's from Cuba. She told this horrible story.
Our Lyft driver.
Horrible story. And the story was that her father was thrown in jail in Cuba for snagging a, you know, basically securing a piece of meat.
And he didn't steal the piece of meat. He got the meat through the like an unapproved channel.
Right.
And people raided the house in the middle of the night for the piece of meat.
Yeah. Because he got it through not through a state-run meat facility. He got it through a friend. Was not supposed to do that. And next thing you know, he's thrown in jail. So he says that's the straw that broke the camel's back. They sought political asylum, and they got out of Cuba.
And this woman came here as a child, and she's lived in the United States all of her life.
Yeah, and she seemed, you know, like a pretty, you know, nice person.
And reasonably intelligent. She had some good observations.
So next thing you know, she's like, so I say something about socialism, and I say, yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting about socialism. She's like, yes, it's horrible. It doesn't work. It's one step away from communism. And I mentioned Venezuela and so on and so forth. And then she said, we started talking about politics somehow.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bernie Sanders, and then you said something.
No,
about
she said she loves Bernie Sanders.
Well, I don't remember whether you mentioned him first or whatever, but then it came out. Well, tell them what happened next.
So she says, I like Bernie Sanders. And I said, you know he's a socialist, right? Because she just got done saying that she hates socialism.
And she had a very cogent argument. Besides her personal experience, she also had a lot of other good points to make about why socialism was bad, how socialism always leads to communism. But she was stunned when you told her that Bernie Sanders was a socialist. And I would
That's
say she was probably a woman. She was probably a woman around 40, maybe. And, you know, and so
30s.
Late 30s, whatever. She's been here for a while. And she basically... had a lot of experience, and she had no idea who that he was a socialist.
Okay, she did not know that Bernie Sanders was a socialist. I said, well, I said, that's not even a secret. That's not even an open secret. He wears that as a mantle, like a mantle on his sleeve. That Bernie, yeah, just look it up. She was stunned and shocked that Bernie Sanders was a socialist. And I'm like, and then she also said something to the effect, well, she would love to see a woman be president. So I figured she was probably a Hillary fan.
Right.
But, you know, the idea is how could you then not know that Bernie, you know, that Bernie's your guy. That's the guy you're probably going to vote for. And you didn't know he was a socialist. And you came from Cuba where your father was thrown in jail for a piece of meat. And you denounce socialism.
Well, you know what it is? I think it's, once again, it's the mainstream media that doesn't tell the full story. And also you have people, here's a person who's got all this direct personal experience with socialism, and she says Bernie's the guy she supports. Now, maybe she just wasn't watching him that closely. Maybe she wasn't hearing that he brings up socialism in one way or another, whether it's implicit or explicit in all of his campaign speeches. In most cases, he may not use the word socialism. He may just say universal health care, free education, free this, free that. But isn't that socialism?
Yeah. And so anyway, all I'm saying is it really does. We do need a more informed voter base, and voters need to get more informed. And I'm hoping, and I think that's one of the things that Trump does so well.
Yeah,
is when he's in Davos, right, and everybody wants to hear him speak, and he knows that, you know, unlike a rally where MSNBC and CNN won't cover the rally, he knows that MSNBC and CNN are waiting with bated breath to cover you know, yeah. a press conference, yeah. right? Especially a big one like that. So that's why the president does something very smart. What he does is he opens it up with black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment. You know, every single time, he knows that's going to get heard by MSNBC and CNN sure. and NBC, you know, all the main networks. So he's basically getting that out of the way first. And, you know, a lot of people criticize him for doing that. Like, Gary is pounding his chest again. But if he didn't do that, these people would never hear it.
Yeah.
So they need to hear it. Because obviously people like our Lyft driver are ill-informed as to what's going on. And again, like I was saying, we have a friend that reports politics in Romania. And she had never seen this video of Joe Biden with the quid pro quo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to give you the $1 billion if you don't fire Viktor Shokin, the guy that was investigating Burisma Holdings, who was paying Hunter Biden all that money. So, again, how could you? That's the crux of it. You know, and when you listen to Adam Schiff on the impeachment stand, guess what? It was one of those things, too, where he had to actually, he couldn't make it up anymore.
Yeah.
And he had to use the word us. And a couple of times when the word us, you do us a favor, when the word us came up, he would almost stumble over that because it's like he'd never uttered it before.
Right.
But he had to tell the truth in the Senate trial. And that word us means so much. And in fact, I wish one of the questions that would be asked would be, who's us?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam Schiff, who is us?
Yes.
Pencil neck. Who is us? Who is us? And one can only speculate at that point who us was. Was us Trump and the Trump family? Was us America? Was what was us, right?
Exactly.
And at some point, he would say it could be anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's right. So because you don't know who us was, now I would assume that he was talking about do us a favor, do America a favor.
Right.
Right. That would be my assumption.
Yes.
But I could not possibly assume then that he's saying do me a favor.
Right.
And everybody, Nancy, Nadler, and Schiff, all, when they would get on TV where they could lie through their teeth, would always say, do me a favor. They would never use the word us.
Yeah.
A little word like that, big difference.
It's a subtle nuance in meaning.
Absolutely. So, you know, the thing is that when he brought up the Bidens, he was bringing up the Bidens had this tape running around. And that should be looked into. Well, when you see that tape, don't you think, well, that should be looked into?
Of course.
The guy's holding $1 billion of taxpayer. That's our money.
Of course it's our money.
And you're withholding the money, my money, to coerce the firing of an investigator that's investigating your son because he's getting paid for work that he's not qualified to do.
And you're running for president. I mean, I think we have a right
no,
to
at
know.
At that point, he wasn't even running
for president. I know, that but... But the thing was, you're a former vice president. There's the, you know, but
that's where it is.
But now
he was a former vice president. He's held to the same standard as a president.
And again, he, as a former vice president, he was still an emissary of this country. So whatever he does has significance, even if he wasn't in office at the time. Because there was always the possibility that he could return to office. And again, as I just said, he is still representing the United States as a former leader of the country.
Right. And we got another Trump tweet, and it says, the Democrats and Shifty Shift, whose presentation to the Senate was loaded with the lies and misrepresentations, are refusing to state that the Obama administration withheld aid from many countries, including Ukraine, Pakistan, Philippines, Egypt, Honduras, and Mexico. Witch hunt. And that's true. I have a list. I'm gonna actually see if I could find that list on my Twitter. Maybe you can, while I'm doing this, you could go down my Twitter feed and look. There's a list. Oh, it's right here.
Right there.
You want to read that?
Okay,
Marsha
sure.
Blackburn list?
Sure, I can get the Marsha Blackburn. One quick second. Saw those earlier.
Says the Obama administration.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
I have it.
Okay,
the Obama administration strategically withheld foreign aid. Ukraine, $1 billion threatened to withhold. Pakistan, $800 million withheld. Colombia, $450 million conditioned. Philippines, $433 million conditioned. Egypt, 260 million withheld. Honduras, 30 million withheld. Mexico, 26 million withheld. And then we have another Marsha Blackburn tweet. We all know Adam Schiff loves hearing himself talk, so let's give him something to talk about. Number one, why did Schiff collude with the whistleblower? Number two, what instructions did he provide the whistleblower? Number three, why did Schiff hire the whistleblower's coworker?
Those are all good questions.
All good questions.
A lot of questions.
The American people have a right to know.
So many questions, not enough answers. How do we get, you know, 24 hours of complete blabber, repeating yourself?
And you know what?
I think people don't get any of the answers that are actually important.
I think people are tuning out because when the ratings come out, you're going to find that a lot of people just aren't watching this because they know they can get the highlights later and it's not worth it to sit here and watch all this.
So you just heard the tweet about Shifty Shift, and then now you got a tweet from Donald Trump talking about mini Mike Bloomberg is playing poker with his foolhardy and unsuspecting Democrat rivals. He says that if he loses, he really means when, in the primaries, he will spend money helping whoever the Democrat nominee is. By doing this, he figures they won't hit him as hard during his hopeless presidential campaign. They will remain silent. The fact is, when Minnie loses, he will be spending very little of his money on these clowns because he will consider himself to be the biggest clown of them all. And he will be right. You know, it's so true. Bloomberg asked for a lot of support from Trump over the years.
Oh, of course.
And he would have never been mayor. I was, you know, in New York,
I just
moved away from New York, actually, when he was running. But I was still doing a lot of business in New York.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that that situation, when 9/11 hit, they were having a primary that day, I guess it was.
Yes.
And he was way below in the polls. And Mark Green, who used to be the commissioner of New York, Mark Green was way ahead of Bloomberg in the polls.
And then the primary got delayed because of 9/11. I remember it distinctly. All the signs were up for the primary.
So what happened was, Giuliani became like the biggest star in America.
America's mayor, they called him.
America's mayor, the hero of America, because of the way he handled himself in the wake of 9/11.
And Bloomberg had a halo effect from that.
Exactly. And that is the sole reason why it is that Bloomberg became mayor, then won re-election, and as he did it as a Republican, by the way. And then in addition to that, he extended and changed the law.
So he could be mayor for longer.
For a third term.
Yeah. Well, they say that he's mimicking Trump in his strategies.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting in his strategies to run for president.
Well, if only Trump would get a third term, yeah, that would be great. Hey, we'll be back in just a moment.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I'm going to play this clip for you today. And it's really kind of tells you a little bit more about the man, Donald Trump. So Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott from Texas governor, was over in Davos trying to woo businesses, big corporations, who left under the Obama regime. They left Texas. They left America. And they're interested in coming back to the land of plenty. The grass is greener in America right now. And so President Trump is walking down through, you know, a back corridor and decides and sees Governor Abbott. Reaches down, gives him a hug, and asks him to join his entourage. And Abbott had to decline because he had other business to tend to. But here's the clip.
You're doing so good.
Oh, my
good to see you,
President. My best governor. Are you okay? Do you want to come up with us? I give you a ride back. The great governor of Texas, everybody. There's nobody like him. Are you okay? Everything good?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you. And you're doing great, too.
Do you want to come anyway? Do you want to go with us?
We would love to. I'm here for a few more days.
He's staying.
Yeah. We got more deals today.
All the deals that we didn't get. Anyway,
but thank you. Wish you good.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Bye, everybody.
That's
bye.
It's just so authentic, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, that he stops, and he's done that so many times. He's done a lot of that. It's just charisma. It's authenticity.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, one of the things, we were having this discussion at the event, and I said, one of the things that's interesting about Trump is that he doesn't represent an ideology. He doesn't,
right.
Like the Republicans have their own ideology. The liberals have their ideology. And President Trump, I've always called him the pragmatic president, the president that basically looks at each and every problem as an independent issue, takes into account and consideration all the circumstances that surround him, and then, you know, addresses that problem head on. And that's how he's been so successful, whether it be with dealing with Iran or, you know, the Middle East in general. Mm-hmm. A lot of these issues, you know, he asked the question of himself, is this the right thing to do, or is this the wrong thing? And
right.
he isolates out what people are thinking about it. Like, what are people going to think? What's the political calculation on this? And he doesn't care. That's why Jerusalem got moved.
Yes.
I mean, that's why the embassy got moved to Jerusalem. If he cared about what people think, it would not have happened. But he didn't. He said, well, the right thing to do was what I said I would do in a campaign promise at AIPAC, that I plan on moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And right now, I think Pence is... no, Pompeo is over in Jerusalem right now.
No, it's Pence.
It's Pence?
It's Pence. Pence okay. is in...
Not Pompeo?
No, Pence.
Okay.
Pence is there.
Okay. And, you know, so it's just... Oh, and then it's actually... the White House posted something up, too. It's... I forget what
I mean, Pompeo could be there as well, but I don't think I heard that. I know Pence is there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just think that, you know, he handles things very uniquely. And I also would make the argument that he incorporates a lot of strategic thinking, like Sun Tzu. And like I had mentioned before, he has tweeted out over 15 times different Sun Tzu quotes. He wrote a book called Art of the Deal, a reflection upon Art of War, that Sun Tzu made, you know, a great general from the Chinese dynasty, had written in 1700s. But a lot of great proverbs and a lot of great quotes that come out of that way of thinking. But Trump is very strategic, like a chess player, and he handles each and every problem independently, not from an ideology. An ideology has you putting in a square peg into a round hole. And I think Trump basically realizes that not every square peg and round hole are built the same. You know, in order to get, you know, things to fit right, you got to actually treat everything independently. Everything is unique. So I want to talk a little bit about this coronavirus that's, you know, happening in China.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I mean, if I go to Mexico, am I going to be ordering a Modelo or a Corona? I don't think I'm going to order a Corona anymore. Right?
I guess not.
Now, Corona has something to do with the sun, right? It's some sort of a pear-shaped object from the sun.
I think the word Corona might mean crown, but I'm not positive.
And crown as part of the human body. There's the anatomy. I looked it up, and... Yeah, and the origin of the word corona, but it has also something to do with astrology, and it has something to do with anatomy. But
yeah, it's the rarefied gaseous envelope of the sun and other stars. The sun's corona is normally visible only during a total solar eclipse.
Well, right now it has something to do with bats.
Okay. Well, bats are blind, so.
No, scientists blame the coronavirus on bats. In Chinese province, where bat soup is served in restaurants.
Bat soup?
I find bats... bats
saw
freak
that.
Me out.
I saw a bat once, and it scared me.
I had a bat in my house once.
I had a bat somewhere I worked. I was like, locked myself in my office, as did everybody else.
Oh, it was awful. It's just awful. I can't stand bats. But scientists in China blame the deadly coronavirus on bats, a favorite at local restaurants in Wuhan province. I would never eat a bat, ever. Would you?
No, I didn't even want to be near a bat. Okay.
We have for this evening, we have bat soup.
Yeah.
No, it's not working for me.
The closest thing I ever got to a bat was watching Batman. I mean, so no bats.
Oh, man. Okay. So, there's pictures of them eating bats.
All right, right. You got to change the subject.
In 2015, scientists identified bats as natural reservoirs of coronaviruses. Okay. It says CNN is reporting that snakes may also be to blame for the outbreak. Snakes, the Chinese crate and the Chinese cobra, may be the original source of the newly discovered coronavirus. That has triggered an outbreak of a deadly infectious respiratory illness in China this winter.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
Yeah. I'll say. Also, there's another report that says Adam Schiff-led House managers have senators in agony and bored out of their minds at the impeachment trial.
Well, I don't think that's actually a real news piece. I think we all knew everybody was bored out of their minds.
The boredom set in on the first day, Tuesday, and carried into Wednesday as lead House manager, Representative Adam Schiff, droned on for hours.
Well, drone is definitely the right way to characterize it. It went on and on and on. The only thing that animated it at all was Schiff's eyes, those crazy eyes.
So, the new host that replaced Shepard Smith is Bill Hemmer, right?
Yes.
The host who replaced Shepard Smith, Bill Hemmer,
from the
Fox
morning,
News,
he's
gets
not
double,
new.
Gets double digit increase in ratings.
Because he's popular. He built a following in the morning.
People could not stand Shepard Smith.
Well, you know, you sometimes have the wrong people invited to the party. When you have a room of Republicans, you don't have Democrats there.
And one last thing, Greta Thunberg.
Yes, yes, the teenager.
Lectured us all again at Davos.
Right.
That was another highlight of Davos.
A good portion of Davos was dedicated to talking about climate change.
So President Trump was asked about, you know, his thoughts about it. And he said, she's 17, right?
So we're all listening to a teenager.
And then he made a joke and he says, well, she beat me out for the cover of Time Magazine. So it's crazy, Time Magazine. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. My name's Scott Adams.
My name is Leonora Cravota.
We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
A long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. I grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.